You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Sasria gave us their results for the year ended March 2024. They gave us an integrated report that contained a couple of details with regards to the performance and with regards to what they've been up to. And I'm joined on the line by the Sasria Chief Financial Officer, Dirk Kunz, to take a look at this, try and understand how the SOC is performing and see where we go from here. Good evening, Dirk. Thanks so much for taking the time. Reflections on the year that was. Obviously, there were a lot of moving parts to have to contend with as an insurer and a reinsurer. But your initial thoughts around how the business performed as a whole?
Yeah, Jimmy, thank you. And good evening to everybody. No, so I think we are very satisfied with the performance. Even though we realize that some of the elements and some of those variables that you are referring to are not entirely within our control. And I think the biggest part of that is, you know, the types of claims and the amount of claims that we receive. So we were quite fortunate over the last 2 years or so to have seen an environment in which we, even though there were still riots and so forth, which are the types of perils that we cover, you know, the damages from that, what we did see is that we didn't see as much claims coming through. So this has had a significant impact on our bottom line and our profitability. And therefore, we are quite satisfied in that we were able to report 3.3 billion rand this year as a profit after tax.
Dirk, that bottom line is looking remarkably attractive at the moment with that 6.7 billion rand profit over the 2 years. And the CEO also touched on that, saying that significant profits over those 2 years. How have the last 2 years been in comparison to some of the other times? I mean, to be able to get the business back on track like this and be able to reduce that loss, it's no small feat.
Correct. So over the longer term, and of course, as you know, Sasria has been in existence for over 40 years, and as your listeners might know, is in 2021 was the biggest claims that we've ever seen against our policies, which was eventually around 31, 32 billion rand that we needed to pay out. But if one were to exclude that from the averages over the long term, what you tend to see is, and the way that we look at our business is that we always target to make, you know, our premium levels to make sure that our claims are not more than around 45% of our premiums that we collect in any particular year. But over the longer term, we've seen that that average has been below that. So, you know, when what we have seen over the past 2 years has been actually out of the ordinary in the sense that we've seen much lower loss ratios, much lower levels of claims, perhaps half of that. And that has had a serious contribution to the bottom line, which, of course, sets us up well for the future, because we are only, you know, our real purpose is, and you know, and the relevance is for these types of claims that, like we've seen in July 2021. So we should ensure that we are well capitalized and build up these reserves over time, so that if there's such an event, you know, we hope that it never happens again, but should it happen, that we are able to settle it and pay all claims to our policyholders.
Let's look at that painful event, Dirk. Has the business recovered from the July 2021 claims? I mean, you touched on the amount, 31 billion rand, with a B, not without. That's not a small amount, and I can imagine that wasn't the full extent of the damage that was caused. It was just what you guys had to process.
Correct. I think there's estimates that go as high as 50, 55 billion rand in terms of total losses. And for our policyholders, which were covered for that event, at least, you know, we could at least make good, like we normally say in our adverts, for around 31, 32 billion rand. Yeah, so on many fronts, we have recovered in the sense that on our reserve side and post the capital injection from government to allow us to settle all claims related to that particular event, we have recovered beyond the levels that we have had before the event. Now, of course, what the event has done is that our, you know, the outlook of future types of events like that has also changed. So our risks and our exposure has also changed. So on the one hand, we do have better reserves, but on the other hand, we also are now planning for being able to, you know, withstand a higher types of events than what we planned for before that particular event. So we've seen an event of around 31, 32 billion rand. So the question we always get is, will we be able to pay an event of that nature again in future? So we've set ourselves sort of a target to get to that particular level of reserve. So we're still a bit a way off, but we do believe that in over the next 5-6 years, should the claims levels remain reasonable and we don't see an event over this period, we would be able to be in a position where, should we have another event like that, we would be able to wash our hands ourselves and we won't have to get government involved or then taxpayers involved in settling those claims.
Dirk, something very interesting that you mention around those reserves is it's in anticipation of these things happening in future. And you said this at the beginning of our chat as well around the fact that some factors are beyond your control. And I want to look at that. I want to look at the emerging risks. There's new risks that are plaguing businesses left, right and center, things around cyber attacks having gone as high as impacting banks. But at the same time, you've got climate risks and those are coming in various forms. I mean, we're thinking about the floods that we've seen in KZN in recent times. These are all things you can never anticipate. How does a business like Sasria prepare for that?
Yeah, so of course, currently, those risks fall outside of our mandate. But we have these aspirations to be that vehicle of government who could provide cover for those types of risks in the future. And to do so, of course, there would need to be some legislative changes that would allow us to do so. And on the other hand, we need to be able to have the right levels of capital to be able to provide the cover and write those types of policies. But those are indeed the longer term or medium to longer term objectives that we have set ourselves so that we create the capability to be able to deal with climate related risks and therefore, complement government's disaster response in that regard. And there are conversations starting between ourselves and National Treasury in order to start putting the first, steps of that in place. Similarly, in terms of other risks like the ones that you've mentioned, cyber, and all of those will have to be developed and improved, and the business case associated with them over time. But that is indeed what we see into the future to take, first of all, the taxpayer further away from these types of risks, but also then to create create capabilities of facilitation of payment of claims at a much faster rate than perhaps other parties can do.
Dirk, you bring up the conversations with National Treasury, and typically when we think about a state-owned company having a conversation with National Treasury, it usually involves the words bailout and extensions of things. I'm looking at the financial position of the business, 16 billion rands in assets in assets on the balance sheet. What's the state of Sasria? What's the financial position of Sasria, and is it a healthy financial position?
Yeah, so I think when you mention the word bailout, it also has a very negative connotation, and some might say that the 22 billion rand that we received from government in 2022 to assist us to pay all the claims could take the form of a bailout. But we don't necessarily have that view of that. So for us, it was a capital injection, or basically a return of some of the previously paid dividends and taxes that we've been able to make towards government. So at current value terms, we would say that, we were able to just get back, the government was able to return the dividends and the taxes that we've paid to it over time. And I think that is the way that we believe we need to be able to run this business. It should be a business that is self-sufficient over the long term. And even though there might be dividends and taxes being paid over to government in the short term, we should never be in a position where, even if government needs to assist us in the payment of claims in the future, regard that as a bailout, as you might have from, in the broader sense of that term. It should always be where the taxpayer is never out of pocket in terms of the way that we run and approach the business.
I see you've got that actually on the balance sheet as share capital now. So it was in the previous financial years put in as shareholders' contributions. So you're reading this as an equity contribution, which I then assume means, as you mentioned, the focus will then be to say return on shareholders or return on equity in the form of dividends back to the shareholder in some way, shape or form.
Correct. And I can tell you that in our conversations with National Treasury, that is also the approach that they would like to see, because surely, they would also like to reduce this type of burden on the state. So we are you know, we are tasked as a management team to ensure that that happens. And to that extent, we need to look at understanding our risk better so that we can price appropriately for these risks. Some of the elements that we've mentioned are out of our control, you know, the reinsurance markets and the pricing of that. That is something that we need to improve our capabilities around so that we can represent our risk much better to the international markets. And there we're looking at things like better data understanding so that we can improve our risk understanding, which we believe would improve our not only our capacity to access those markets, but also the pricing of those. And all of these would contribute then to an improved bottom line. You know, and one shouldn't forget also, even though it's a very small component, the operational cost that we incur, we also keep a very close eye on that so that we maximize the returns on an annual basis, which of course then sets us in good stead with National Treasury should we need them as a shield in future.
That's certainly a very interesting way to tackle things and to run the business. We wish you the best of luck going into the new financial year, and we look forward to seeing continued strong performance from the business. Thanks so much, Dirk. We'll leave it at that. That's Dirk Kunz, who is the CFO of Sasria, joining us to reflect on the performance they had over the last year, as well as some of the improvements they've made towards their strategy.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.